So next, I'd like to welcome Sally O'Reilly into studio. And Sally is our in-house psychologist, psychotherapist, and a specialist in all things to do with the mind. And so we've agreed today to talk about how to acquire or find a suitable therapist for you as an adult or indeed for your children. So you're very welcome to the show, Sally.
Thanks very much, Rosaria. It's nice to be back.
Yes, it's lovely to have you back. So how do you, well, first of all, why would someone decide that they need a therapist?
So there are many reasons that people choose therapy. I think that we have ideas in our head that it's only when there's a crisis, like when there's a bereavement or an incident, perhaps at work or with your child or with your spouse. But sometimes people decide to go into therapy simply to learn more about themselves, or they might have noticed they keep repeating patterns in relationships, or patterns that, well, that would be relationships as well. But sometimes we might notice that we keep doing the same thing, or we keep ending up with the same kind of people, or we might say to ourselves, God, why does this always happen to me? Or why do my friends always let me down? So very often, actually, increasingly more so in recent years, people are coming to therapy not in crisis, but to learn, grow an awareness about themselves and their patterns.
That's very mature, isn't it? From going from a society that almost poo-pooed the whole notion of psychology to coming to it, not just in times of crisis, but in times of trying, I suppose, to support their mental health.
Yeah, that's a nice word, mature. That's true, actually. Yeah, I mean, I certainly would have noticed a big change in the reason for referrals. There's a lot less urgency and a lot more exploratory stuff happening.
And maybe a lot less stigma around it as well.
I think that's probably why. Mm. Yeah, because more people were courageous enough to give therapy a go. It's become a lot more normalised, perhaps is a better word than it used to be.
So that's a positive development. Mm. I would see that as a positive development for society. But now in terms of, okay, so I suppose a person has to isolate then what aspect of their life that they're not happy with and how it could be improved. Like, what's the difference between going to a psychotherapist and, we'll say, a coach, a life coach?
And that's one of the reasons I was happy to talk about that today, is because it has become so normalised. One of the dangers, I was going to correct that word, but actually I'm going to leave it. One of the dangers when something like that happens is that then there can be an issue with quality of service, and there can be an issue with trainings, for example, that are available. So now what we're seeing happening is there are a lot of people who say that they're counsellors or therapists, and they may have a training that's not quite up to standard, and in some cases they don't have any training at all. Now that might sound kind of shocking, and that will change because the regulations around therapy and psychology are becoming stricter. It's bringing with it its own problems, but all in all, I'm hugely in favour of this because we really do need to tighten up standards.
Right.
So just to give you, I'll give you one example of my concern is that I notice a lot recently I hear people being interviewed on the radio like this, and they would be referred to or introduced by their interviewers with words like, oh, this is a clinical psychotherapist or a clinical counsellor. Mm. And these aren't real terms. Mm. They're not real words. So there are people who are calling themselves very professional, sciencey sounding names, but they're not actually real titles.
Okay.
So now they might be counsellors or psychotherapists, and that's fine. And, you know, I would like to see that they would just leave it at that and just call themselves what they are. But I have noticed a worrying trend for people to add sciencey sounding names to their titles.
Clinical, sounding more medical.
So, and that's another danger, is that the mental health area is becoming very medicalized. But I won't go down that route with you today, because that's one of the issues with the regulation, that other people are taking care of that, hopefully.
Okay. Well, and what's the difference between, for instance, a counselor and a psychologist or a psychotherapist?
So the main difference between, I'll start with the easy one. A psychologist has a degree, at least one degree in psychology, preferably to a master's level. So there are different types of psychologists. There's counselling, clinical, occupational, educational. They would be the main four that you'd hear about.
Okay.
There are health psychologists as well, do a lot of very important work, particularly in the area of research. Then you have psychotherapists. So they will have, and this is where it gets tricky, this is why I wanted to talk about how to search for one, is that the amount of different qualifications that are out there is mind-boggling. And for someone who hasn't a background in the area, it's very hard to figure out the difference between the different qualifications. And I do want to stress that I'm not saying one is better than another, because the other issue, of course, is that you might have someone who's got a very low level of training. And a law would be considered something like a certificate or some people might consider a diploma, a low level, I'm doing inverted commas in there, of training, but they might be incredibly skilled with people. They might be incredibly skilled counsellors, a skilled therapist. So
gifted.
The level of training, exactly. Mm. It doesn't necessarily mean that this person is going to be a brilliant therapist if they have 1,000 letters after their name.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of have to have a flair. You get people who are really interested are very good at it vis-a-vis people who are may not be so good.
And there needs to be a fit. So, you know, one of the first things I say to people, like I wrote a little piece on it just to help people navigate it, because I've noticed people call me and they don't ask me questions that I would consider really important.
Okay, like what are your qualifications?
Giving them information. Okay. Exactly. So the first port of call,
I suppose people don't like doing that, Irish people particularly, because it sounds like, first of all, they would be afraid of coming in and getting off on a wrong foot, like they're querying your credentials, which could be insulting to some people, not you, Sally, but, you know, other people might feel they're being undermined by these questions, might be security issues that they're having, you know, the person having themselves. So you can imagine how Irish people would be reluctant to ask, even though, as you said, they're critical questions.
I agree, and I think that's exactly why people are reluctant to ask. But now I'm going to just reframe that slightly and say, if you have an anxiety around asking a potential therapist what their qualifications are, and if that therapist reacts with defensiveness, is that really the kind of therapist you want to work with?
Exactly, yeah.
Like, it's really important to...
But, you know, the medical profession can be very defensive if you go in and, you know, even query their knowledge. You know how they can get very ratty.
It's
like, how dare you question me? I'm the expert and you're not.
Yeah. And I have actually, you know, with regards to medical people, I would certainly move on if it were possible to do that. And already there are three people springing to my own brain who are in the medical profession who I have questioned or queried or challenged or said, look, I heard or read this other study. And the ones who are interested in that or who explain to me maybe why I'm wrong, but do so in a calm and non-judgmental way, they're the ones I'll stick with because they weren't personally threatened by it.
Yes,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, because they're confident enough in their own profession.
Confident is different from arrogant. So
yes, indeed.
The thing I would say is the first port of call for most people is their GP, and that's fine, and that's a good idea. And GPs have a lot of GPs have a list of therapists, and over the years they get familiar because people give them information,
feedback.
But again, your GP may have never met the therapist that he or she is recommending. And so their recommendation isn't a guarantee of success, but it is information.
Okay.
Similarly, with friends and family, more of the referrals I get than not are now from friends and family of people. And that's really lovely. And it's a privilege for me. But I'm aware that, like, if you go to see a therapist and you tell me, oh, so-and-so is brilliant, they might be brilliant, but they might not be brilliant
for that
me.
Person, yeah.
Because we're all different. We all have different needs.
Yeah.
You know, it's another relationship. Because this is one of the most intimate relationships you're ever going to have. So it's important to be really fussy. So shop around. And I would say to people, get at least three names.
Yes. And I think it's important perhaps to give your therapist a chance. Maybe go twice rather than make a rash judgment on the first time, unless you have a gut instinct or a gut feeling you dislike them or you just don't feel you click with them. But sometimes I think you have to give a person a chance perhaps and go to a second session and then either confirm your mm-hmm. opinion or change your mind.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and it's one that I mentioned, is the importance of listening to your gut, just as with a potential friend or a potential whatever. If you have a feeling that something else is going on here that shouldn't be going on, and that could be anything. It could be something sexual or could be something just judgmental. But if you have a sense that something's off, then it probably is off. And you might even think, you know, actually, this is what's wrong in my life anyway, is that I get these feelings about people and I ignore them and then I continue and then I end up in an abusive or just dissatisfactory relationship. So it's all information.
And can we move on to children in terms of if children need referrals, what's the best advice in relation to getting them a therapist?
Okay, well, with both children and adults, it's about, I would say, really find out where the person trained. So with children, you need to make sure, children or teenagers, that the person has training in developmental psychology, ideally. Or what I find myself doing a lot recently is referring children to play therapists. So there are quite a number of qualified play therapists in East Cork, and I refer to them regularly, and I've always gotten back very positive feedback. So I would say there is a play therapy association, and you can, of course, Dr. Google. But the thing with Dr. Google is when you're looking for therapists for people of any age, be aware that not every therapist likes an online presence.
Okay.
That might be a boundary issue, or it might be just a not interested.
Yeah.
It's not a reflection on their competence.
Okay.
So
surely their qualifications are listed too, because normally they're under particular bodies that regulatory bodies.
Yeah, actually, that's a brilliant point, and I'm glad you said that, because I would have forgotten to say that. That if someone is properly qualified and accredited, they will be a member of an association. And the main associations in Ireland are the PSI, which is the Psychological Society of Ireland. That's tricky because not every psychologist chooses registration. So they might be an associate member, so they won't be listed on the website. So it's all very tricky. But for therapists, generally, the two organizations are IACP and IAHIP. They're the two biggest organizations, and you'll be looking for someone who's listed on their websites.
Okay.
Play therapists won't necessarily be listed on those websites, but there is a Play Therapy Association.
Okay, and again, like that, a referral either from a GP or they obviously won't put you wrong in relation to who the people might be in
the
locality.
Certainly, not knowingly. Yeah.
Yeah, not knowingly, yeah.
Because your GP obviously will want you to attend to this as well.
Okay, Sally, so finally, if people were interested in going to psychologist, psychotherapist, or getting somebody for their child, what's their first protocol? Is it a GP or could they actually go directly? They can probably go directly.
They can go directly. But again, I really would recommend that you get more than one name. So your GP might supply you with one or two names. You can go online and have a look at those organisations that I mentioned. And you can get other names. And this might sound a bit time consuming and daunting, actually, especially if you are very anxious or upset. But interview them. Feel free to interview them. So you're asking them, how long are they qualified? Where do they train? Are they in supervision? These are really important questions. And if you sense any hesitation there, feel okay about moving on.
Okay. I suppose, Sally, finally, if you might let us know your website and where that people can find that blog for all the advice and information around that. And roughly, I don't know whether it's appropriate or not, but the cost normally is about the same as going to a GP?
So the cost for therapy varies hugely because there are low-cost therapists and there are the normal fee, and then there are different types of psychologists. So the fee will vary from around 50 at the lower end of the scale all the way up to 300 for a full-on psychological assessment.
Oh, yeah, psychological assessment, though, but that's a bit
different.
Yeah, so
there's a lot of... but I suppose the sort of the average would be, or is mean a better word, I don't know, around the 70 to 90 euro per session.
Okay, okay. Which can be expensive for people. So, but then it doesn't have to be a weekly event. It could be a monthly.
Oh,
or
no. And that's,
according
that's
to a person's
one of the other
needs.
Things. If someone insists on weekly therapy and you don't want to, that's another red flag.
Okay.
So the piece that I wrote was how to choose the right, in inverted commas, therapist for you or your teen. And that's on my site. It's sallyoreilly.com.
Excellent. Sally, thank you so much for all that wonderful information, and I hope that will be of use to our listeners, which I'm sure it will be. And it's good to get a good steer on such an important issue as that.
Choose wisely.
Choose wisely. Yeah. Thank you.